This is Design Huddle, the podcast for creative entrepreneurs and professionals looking to level up in their design career. Each week, myself, Brandon Gross, a designer and digital strategist, and Ryan Warner, a UX designer, step inside the minds of the most creative people on the planet. This podcast touches a variety of disciplines ranging from design, digital strategy, user experience, and social media. Our goal here is to educate by striking a balance between practical and creative advice. So if you like storytelling, funny commentary, and learning how to level up in your design career and get hired, subscribe to Design Huddle and join the fam. Thanks for listening. Now let's huddle. Howdy doody, everybody. Welcome back to Design Huddle. We have an amazing topic today because this shit is actually really relevant, and I know every single one of you, if not all of you, have heard. If you guys are even remotely have an internet connection, we're going to talk about the very cool looking but mysterious trend, pneumorphism. And yes, that's how you say it. All right, guys. Me and Ryan were Googling for about like 30 minutes to make sure we pronounce these things correctly because people like to make things complicated. These words are like four syllables each. Anyway. So we're excited about this because not only does it look really cool, but what we're going to get into is we're going to talk about what it is, why it's super popular, some problems with it, and then our general opinions on this sleek, buttery, dribble-filled, or I don't even know, very popular dribble.
Yeah, it's sweeping the internet style. By storm.
Yeah, you got people trying to like redesign Apple's iOS 14. In this exact style. But if you guys are not familiar, definitely just pop this into your Google search while you're listening to us. All right. So, Ryan, what is, or you can have me do it, what is pneumorphism?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen this before. I'm not an expert in this, but I have, now that I've like been reading about it for quite a bit, I've seen it, I've interacted with it, and I think I get it, but so really what it is it's a new UI trend that combines basically using a digital interface and making it use elements that feel more real. So a good way of thinking of this is like a button that almost has like more depth to it, and it feels like when you press the button that the button is actually like it looks like it's been pressed in. So, Brendan, help me out here.
Yeah. No.
You can tell. Like this is a little bit of a newer topic for me. So I'm just trying to like wrap my head around it. But the biggest thing that I'll say is it's a type of UI. It's a UI trend right now that is using real world elements to make it feel more like things in the real world.
Yeah. So in pneumorphism, it's basically a new generation of skeuomorphism. Guys, I did actually have a lot of trouble with that word because I know a lot of the design elitists on here who's like probably flipped y'all's hair and was like, I can't believe he just said that. He said it wrong. This is probably one of the biggest things or biggest pet peeves I have with the design elitism is like they
just make it so complicated. Just like,
so basically for the definitions for those of you guys who are also like, what the fuck is that three syllable word? Skeuomorphism is the usage in design of trying to bring real life texture, real life objects into the digital world. So for example, you guys remember the first versions of iPhone, when you open the notepad application, that shit was legitimately designed to look like a real life notepad that was stitched together, a leather notepad. So that's skeuomorphism. Neomorphism is now trying to replicate that, but with a sense of flat design. So now you have like a nice use of real life shadows. So it's like flat design, but with a lot more shadow usage. Now just Google it. You'll understand. Just so you guys have a visual.
Mm-hmm. It also uses like these like so it's a combination of like adding depth, and then it also the colors tend to be that I've seen tend to be using a lot of like either in like a lot of whites or a lot of like blacks and grays in dark mode, and then very vibrant colors for the like main indicators. So, like I'm looking out an interface now that is like pretty much all white. And then the main stat is 25% and it's like orange. Yeah, this Brendan, I'm struggling with this topic here, dude. This is like,
Ryan was like, I don't even know what's going on. We have like designers not even knowing what's happening. Well, I mean, like
for me, this just reeks of a interesting design trend, but they're trying to do too much. For me, it's just overcomplicating design. Like design is not meant to have. You know, like it looks like everything's a button, like everything on the page looks like a button, which is very misleading for users. Like there's a reason that call to actions have been used for so long on the web. There's a reason that flat UI is so popular. It's because it's minimal. It's not distracting. It makes it very easy for users to find what they're looking for and complete a task. Like I keep looking at these interfaces and it is just blowing my mind that this is like a popular trend. It's so confusing. Like everything feels like it's pressed in, but not pressed in. And like, I guess I get why people like it because it's visually like it's interesting it and like it's butter. Different. But I have to be honest, I do not think this trend will stay along for a while. The reason that I don't think this will stay around is this has to take exponentially more time than doing a traditional like, you know, mock-up. These mock-ups typically take a lot more time. I could be wrong. So if you are an expert designer using this methodology, nuomorphism, please reach out to us. I'd love to talk to you and pick your brain because this is kind of blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, it just looks cool. And that's what kind of leads us. First of all, the person who coined this nuomorphism is Jason Kelly. And the person who actually wrote about this and really kind of dogged it on Medium or UX.cc, if you guys not listen to it, read it on the internet by Mikhail, sorry about pronouncing names, Mikhail Mailwitz. Do you know, Ryan, you're a Medium guy. Do you know this person who writes on UXdesign.cc?
I don't.
No? Okay, well.
I don't.
Anyway, we're gonna link to that.
I follow a lot.
Yeah, because I know you're quite the writer, but we'll put the link to this in the description, guys. But basically, Michael refers to this as the zombie trend, something that's not really dying, and there's really no use for it, because even though it does look very nice, very like new age, you know, it's not user-friendly. A lot of the people who do have vision problems can't even see like where things end and where things start, so there's a lot of accessibility challenges with this. And so that really leaves us to, that's the main big problem. It's not.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. The UI looks good. The UX is terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just looks really nice. It's just really well done graphic design, but is it usable? Probably not. But something that if you guys want to actually play with this, cause to be honest, it is kind of fascinating just because we are doing this. There is a really cool, generator. So you guys can play with it. So you don't really need to design anything, but you can see how exactly nuomorphism applies. Check out nuomorphism.io. It's a generator by, what's this guy's name? Chris Coyier. These guys have such interesting names, man. Like I complain when people can't say my last name. I'm like, it's gross, as in nasty. But, you know, this is like some pretentious last names. Coyier out here sounding like caviar and I'm trying not to curse, Ryan, okay? I almost did and didn't. All right. So we talked about what it is, where it really came from. It came from this, you know, skeuomorphism and flat design mixed together. We talked about the problems and, you know, the reason. Okay, let's talk about why or why not to use this thing. I have some reasons as to why you could and really why you shouldn't be using this. It's obviously why you should is to, it's something to explore in terms of your design technique, right? So it might not be something to shoot out into a live project, but in terms of trying something new artistically or design technically, like there's always skills that in visualizing something that you can learn from it. But from a UX and when we're actually talking about product design and actually bettering a product for the customer who's using it, I'm not too sure. I mean, what do you feel, Ryan? Would you say about the same?
Yeah, my biggest thing is I just don't think, you know, flat UI, flat design, minimal design has always been my favorite, because I as a UX designer, I believe that digital interfaces' sole purpose is to solve problems. So it just, for me, it feels like it's overcomplicating it. I just don't think it's a replacement for flat design. This just reeks just like another cool trend that looks visually cool, but then if you start testing it, it doesn't perform well at all. I would also encourage anybody that has the time, it would be very interesting to have two different like A/B testing this. So create just normal flat UI and then a new neomorphism design, and then letting users have a goal of, like, I don't know, buying a pair of shoes and seeing which experience is better, and just kind of getting some real user feedback on in comparing them, you know, basically this new school design versus a little bit more old school design, and seeing which one does better. I think the one thing that I get is it certain designs I've seen, they look really cool. Like, they look like it's different, right? Like the web has evolved from just being hyperlinks to hyperlinks and images to being, you know, tables, hyperlinks and images, to adding in video. So it advances. And part of this, the web being this, you know, fluid, you know, system, there's always going to be new changes. It's always important to try to have new design trends to stand out. And the thing that I like about this is it's challenging the way we think. It's thinking about new ways, new visual ideas that could potentially help people create better websites. But at the end of the day, my opinion is that this is just nothing more than a 2020 design trend that'll lose steam after the interfaces get low engagement and poor, like, UXR results. So, yeah, but I mean, listen, I've seen this. I'm glad I know what it is. Brendan kind of spent a lot of time bringing me up to speed on this. I think it's worth looking into, but if you're a new designer, I wouldn't recommend starting here. I would definitely recommend designing an interface with, like, using more flat design or material design. I think those are just a little bit more, the design systems are fully fleshed out. This feels super random to me. And I think my biggest pet peeve after looking at a ton of these over the past hour is everything feels like a button. I can't get past it. It's like everything, the depth is cool, but it's like everything on the page feels like a button. And I think that's overwhelming. And as Brendan mentioned, from an accessibility standpoint, I could see this being a major issue.
Yeah, your grandma or your grandpa's going to end up giving somebody, like, the wrong thing and putting it somewhere. They're gonna be like, grandbaby, where do I put my information? She's gonna end up putting her social security number for her name. Oh god. So yeah. That's it. Let's not have the elderly give out their social security. So that's it for neomorphism, guys. That is what it is, where it came from in its history.
Yeah, we're going to do a refresh of this episode after we learn more, but the design trend might be dead by then. So we wanted to get this episode in here to get our gut reaction. This episode is very rough around the edges, but it's more of a reaction podcast than giving you, like, tips on how to be the best neomorphism designer ever. So Brendan, thanks for dropping some knowledge on me, though. I it's always good to learn something new.
Always. All right, guys. So that is it for today's Design Huddle, and we will see you guys next Monday. All right, take it easy.
Design Huddle is a podcast that is hosted by Ryan Warner and Brendan Gross. The opinions stated here are our own and not those of our company. Thank you for tuning in, and please feel free to share this episode.